Well, I don't know if I've had more fun in these playoffs than what I had watching the Rockets last night against the Spurs. 53 point attempts. Team record 22 makes, and a blowout victory of the Spurs in game one of their best of seven Western Conference semifinal. Ethan Rothstein covers the Rockets for SB Nation, joining us here on SB Nation Radio. Ethan, Matt Perrault, good evening. How are you?
Good. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing wonderful. Look, I know we aren't going to see the Rockets shoot like that every game of this series, but just when you look at the matchups, do you feel like this is a series that, after watching one game, that the Rockets have some clear advantages and they could win this series?
Oh, for sure. You know, before the series started, I was kind of surprised. A lot of national media people were picking the Rockets to win the series. I also predicted the Rockets to win the series in six games. I still think that that's going to happen. The Rockets have too many athletic guys to throw at the Spurs, who are, you know, a really old team. You almost don't realize how old the Spurs are until you see them against a team like the Rockets with, you know, Clint Capella, who's in his early 20s, James Harden, who's 27, Pat Beverly, who I think is 28 or 29, you know, Eric Gordon, who I think is 29. I mean, the Rockets have, you know, much younger legs in this series. And, you know, over the course of a game like game one, and over the course of a series, it really was evident that the Spurs have guys who were 36, 38, 39, and Pau Gasol, Ginobili, Tony Parker, David Lee. I mean, those guys are way up there in NBA years.
You know, when you break down this series, and I was really curious to see how the Spurs were going to defend the Rockets with their three-point shooting, and I like the Rockets to win the series as well, but I thought it would go seven. And I was amazed at how little. Now, he had 14 assists, so I don't mean to discredit what James Harden did last night on the floor, but how little of work he had to do scoring the basketball for them to win the game by nearly 30 points. Were you surprised at how easily he was able to distribute the basketball to guys who were wide open for shots?
Yes and no. I mean, we haven't seen this Harden for some time. But if you remember early in the season, you know, right out of the gate, you know, Harden had a couple games with like 14, 15, 16 assists. I mean, they had two win streaks this year, one of 10 games, one of 9 games. And in those win streaks, he was having like 23 points, 16 assists night. He had a 50 point, 17 assist triple-double. And when he gets up above 12, 13, 14 assists, even if he's not scoring the ball that much, he didn't really have to. He only took 13 shots. But it means that everyone else is playing well around him. And those are the games when the Rockets tend to really blow by opponents and win by 20, 30 points, score over 120. I mean, they dropped 140 points in a game this season. They dropped over 130 in a lot of games. And even if the Spurs had scored 115, 120, when the Rockets are on offense like this, there's really only one other team in the league that can come close to matching them.
Ethan Rothstein, SBNation.com, covering the Rockets for us here on game night. It sure seems like Ryan Anderson, and I was reading a couple of tweets from the beat guys who have some interesting stats about when Ryan Anderson scores 15 points, just how dangerous this Rockets team is. Is he kind of an X factor in this series when you're watching this series to say if Ryan Anderson's playing well, the Rockets are very tough to beat?
Absolutely. I think he and Trevor Ariza are basically connected in this series and in that regard, because those same stats are true about Ariza too. If Ariza scores 18 points, the Rockets have something like a 700-800 winning percentage.
Wow.
And you know, they share the court a lot. You know, they're both a starting lineup. When Anderson is off, Ariza is usually on. I mean, people talk about the Nene and Clint Capella rotation at the five. I mean, Anderson and Ariza kind of have the same thing going, where, you know, they'll share the court obviously, and Nene and Capella won't. But, you know, one of them is always playing in this series. And if one or both of them are hitting three-pointers like they were last night, you know, it just brings the Rockets' offense to an entirely different level, because Gordon and Williams and Beverly have been pretty consistent shooting from outside. But if all three or four shooters surrounding Harden are hitting at the same time, it's just lethal.
So 53-point attempts for the Rockets. The obvious question for San Antonio is, all right, are you going to close out on shooters? Are you going to try to take away three-point looks? If that happens, in my opinion, that gives James Harden a chance to score 50 points in game two by just going to the rack as much and getting to the free throw line and live there like he normally does. Would you agree with that, that it's kind of pick your poison right now for the Spurs?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thing that Oklahoma City did really well was stick to the Rocket shooters, and Harden had some really great scoring games in the last round, but, you know, their offense was so terrible, and they slowed the pace down so much because to compensate for that. The Spurs last night really showed kind of a surprising willingness to run with the Rockets a lot, and that's part of why I think they employed the strategy of not closing out on shooters as much. In the next game, I imagine they're going to try to slow the game down. And if that's the case, then it's going to be even more Harden probing the defense. Harden loves to take mid-range step-backs against big men who switch onto him, and he didn't really bother with that this time. He just drove at them and found shooters around the perimeter because that was offense that was working best. But the thing about Harden's game is that it really does not matter what strategy a defense tries. He has at least two or three counter moves that are just as deadly as his preferred option, which is finding three-point shooters around the perimeter.
Is it fair to look at LaMarcus Aldridge and say that even though he's a major part of this Spurs team, that he is going to have a real tough time in this series?
Last night was so weird. I mean, every Rockets fan still remembers when LaMarcus Aldridge single-handedly beat them in a playoff series. It was not that long ago. It was 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. He dropped 40 points in back-to-back games. And basically put the Rockets out of the series, in the early going. And, he's not that much older than he was then. He had 4 points and I think 6 rebounds. He's going to struggle on defense. I expect him to come back in a big way offensively, tomorrow night. There's no way he scores that few points again. He's too good for that. So I think, yes, he will struggle defensively. But last night he was such a minus on offense as well, and that really killed the Spurs. I mean, he's a multiple All-Star level player. I have a hard time envisioning that happening again.
All right, Ethan, what do you expect from the Spurs in Game 2? What changes do you think that they look to make?
I think we see Dwayne Dedmon a lot earlier. He didn't play at all in the first half, and he's kind of like a Clint Capela light. He's tall and athletic, and that's a good matchup. Capela just annihilated the Spurs big men. Mm-hmm. He had 20 points on 10 shots and 13 rebounds and 2 blocks. They had no answer for him. So Dedmon figures to be a matchup that Popovich will look to go to. We might see more Kawhi Leonard at the four. But what's interesting is the Spurs, and Greg Popovich in particular, tend not to make adjustments this early in a series. They also have never been blown out like that at home.
Yeah.
So, who knows how that will change the factor. But, it's Greg Popovich's way to kind of stick with the plan for longer than maybe other teams would tweak things. But after you lose by 27 points, and it could have been more, if the starters had come back on the floor, it might have been a 40 or 50-point win. After that, who knows what he'll do.
Yeah, down 30 at the break, the biggest deficit ever for the Spurs in a postseason first half, and then losing by 27, their largest defeat under Greg Popovich in the playoffs. An unbelievable effort. Should be a really fun series for Rockets fans as we go through this here, and maybe a matchup with the Golden State Warriors in the Eastern Conference Finals, but 3 more wins to go before that happens. Ethan, good stuff tonight. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.
Ethan Rothstein, SBNation.com, covering the Rockets. Great stuff there on Houston.